Soul Recovery is not just this podcast. It is a community. And each month on the first Monday, we get together on Zoom to support each other. I give a topic, then we break into small groups. It's a powerful way to be seen and witnessed and heard and supported through your own soul recovery journey. This is free to attend and open to everyone. Go to the website to register. The next one is May 6th from 6 to 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Also, in June on the 8th and 9th is an in-person soul recovery retreat in Lafayette, Colorado. This is going to be a weekend of incredible transformation, learning how to use soul recovery in your life and to leave that weekend transformed. Visit the website for more about what to expect and how to register. Enjoy the episode. When we start doing spiritual work and we're really trying to help ourselves, we're trying to do better in our lives, what can happen is that we can start looking around at everybody else in our life, especially our most important relationships, and we can say, hey, I'm the one doing all the work here. I'm the one who's putting the effort in. Why aren't you putting in the same level of effort? Unfortunately, this can be a trap for our own unhappiness, dissatisfaction, and cause of resentment. In this episode, we're going to be talking about working through that process of allowing yourself to be where you're at and accepting and letting go of the need to control others and their journey. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Recover Your Soul podcast, a spiritual path to a happy and healthy life. My name is Reverend Rachel Harrison. I started Recover Your Soul after having profound changes in my life from my recovery of alcoholism, codependency, and control addiction. I was guided to share the tools and principles of spirituality and soul recovery to help others transform their lives as mine was transformed. For us to overcome external circumstances, we need to turn the attention to ourselves, focusing on our inner change and healing. Positive results in our lives will follow. Welcome to the Recover Your Soul podcast. I'm Rev Rachel, and I'm so happy that you're here with me today. If you're new to soul recovery, maybe this is your first episode, or you've been here a couple times, I'm so glad that you're here. It's such a big deal that this continues to grow, that we're creating this even greater community around us healing, around us turning the attention to ourselves and leaving behind codependence, leaving behind the need for somebody else to be a certain way for us to be okay. We're learning for us to be okay. We're healing. And it's no mistake that you're here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. For this episode, I wanted to talk a little bit more around something that's been coming up on the Facebook group and also in my life personally. And it's around, what do you do when the people around you aren't making the same effort to do their own recovery or to do any recovery in some cases that we are? And how do we maintain our health, our ability to stay in our lane, to take care of ourselves, to continue to do our journey, in some cases to stay in our relationship, to stay in our job, to stay in our situations. And in some situations, we're making big decisions to let go of jobs, relationships, situations that don't serve us any longer. But that expectation that sometimes we still have around, why can't the other people do some work too? And I know for me, this has been a really big part of my healing and my growth, because when Rich and I first stepped into the rooms of AA, it's almost 15 years now, and we went to our first AA meeting. It was a Friday night. Part of what had happened in that time period is that we had been toying with not drinking, drinking, trying to control our drinking, trying to manage our drinking. And so 15 years ago, the kids were much younger, and we were in that chaos of raising kids, and we were struggling with ourselves, with our relationship. As I've said before, we've been married 29 years, 31 years together. At this point, just celebrated our anniversary. We had so much that was really good, and we had a lot that was really dysfunctional and really hard. Sometimes I'll say that I had 10 or 15 years of difficulty, of hardness, discontent in my life and in my marriage. And that was an undercurrent that was kind of running, but there was things that were successful. And part of what worked for Rich and I is that we both used drinking as a way to connect and to connect and shut down the world together. And it also ended up being a source of our arguing and what happens when you drink, that your emotions get revved up, you get caught up in your brain and in your mind and your way that you see it. And we battled with each other, that emotional battlefield, if you've listened to that episode, around who's right here. Around that time, about 15 years ago, Rich's mom passed away. And I think it was a real wake-up call for both of us because we've been toying with this back and forth of drinking, not drinking, trying to control, trying to do something about it. And we had just read the Four Agreements for the first time, if I remember correctly, and were really affected by the simplicity and the absolute truth that if we could bring this into our lives, if we could try to live from these four agreements, to not take things personally, to not make assumptions, to do your best and be impeccable with your word. If we could live from these four agreements, then we could change our lives in a better way. And then his mom passed away. And I think as it is when we have those kinds of events in our lives, it shakes you. It rattles you a little bit and it makes you think, oh, wow, she was only in her early 70s. And she had had to deal with a lot of medical issues over the last years. And not to diagnose her, but that part of the reason why her body wasn't as strong was because she had also been a drinker. And when we looked at ourselves, I think it was a massive time for reflection around looking at ourselves. So when we quit drinking and we walked into that room together, to me, it was an us project. And I've told this story before that I was actually more sure that Rich was the alcoholic and I wasn't, but I wanted to have him stop drinking and I wanted to stop drinking too, but I more wanted him to stop drinking. And if I'm honest about where I was at that time in my life, I wanted him to wake up and change. And I've also told this story before about how we'd be in meetings or be at church or something like that. And they would say something that was really relevant or really impactful that I thought he should get. And I would elbow him and he would give me this look like, what are you doing? And then that would make him defensive because I wasn't listening to it for myself. I was listening to it for him. Well, fast forward 15 years. Here we are. I'm 5 years sober. I'm in a better place. I've discovered soul recovery. I am substantially 100% different than I was 5 years ago. I'm happy. I'm doing my work. And there's still a part of me that wishes that Rich was doing the work in the same way that I'm doing the work, or that my kids would do the work in the same way that I'm doing the work. And I hear this echoed in the support group, in the Facebook group, in my working with people, in my life with my friends. I hear it everywhere where everyone's like, hey, I'm doing this hard, big work. I'm making the effort. Why can't they do something? What I want to talk about in this episode is a reminder of the power of our thoughts. The reminder of the power of us continuing to turn within, to turn the attention to ourselves, to let go of the energy around somebody else doing or being a certain way for us to be okay. And there's another side of that, which is watching somebody else hurt is not easy. Watching somebody else struggle with their self-esteem, struggle with their addiction, struggle with their anger, when you know there's a different way to see it, when you've experienced something for yourself, when you've had a change of heart, when you've had a change of perception, and you wish that that other person could just open their eyes and see it. Recently, I was listening to the teachings of Buddha. As you know, I was raised Buddhist. And so not only am I digging in as a minister into all kinds of philosophies and spirituality and religion so that I'm more versed in all of it, but also in my own background of Buddhism. And there are lines in there that say, that there are people who have less dust in their eyes, to be able to see what the teachings are, to be able to recognize. And so Buddha says that they have little dust. And I thought that was so interesting, because the truth is, it does feel like when we're in the midst of pain, when we're in the midst of suffering, we're in the midst of our dysfunction, it's like we are in a sandstorm and we can't see, and it's chaotic and it's just so much. And there's no way that we can see outside of the sandstorm. We're just trying to protect ourselves. We're just trying to find shelter. And that's what it feels like when you're in the midst of your pain. But you can decide that you're going to follow the sandstorm as it goes across the desert, or you can move outside of it and allow the dust to settle. And so when we look at the people in our lives that are not choosing to get out of the storm, they are choosing to be in their pain, the hardest part is to allow them to be where they're at, without it meaning that we're responsible for them, that we need to fix them. And then on the other side of that coin is this incredible need for us to take care of ourselves. And that it isn't about accepting somebody 100% and then allowing ourselves to be treated poorly. It doesn't mean that you allow somebody to be exactly where they are, depressed, mopey, angry, snappy, and that we just say, oh, that's where they are. That's what's going on with them. And I'm going to take it. I'm going to walk in the sandstorm with them, but I've got a little more cover. I've got a little more, maybe I have goggles on, but I'm still in the storm with them. It's complicated. And each one of your relationships, each one of your situations is uniquely your own. And what I want to work on in soul recovery is this idea that we're taking care of ourselves, but we're also letting go of blame. We're letting go of this part of us that wants everything to be a certain way so that we can be okay. And we're completely releasing any judgment of anything being good or bad, or somebody being right or being wrong. And we're just coming back to our own feelings. And we're actually allowing them to also have their own feelings. But we're in relationship with these people. It's a lot easier to do that if you have a friend who you talk to on the phone and they're really miserable and they're really lamenting and complaining about how shitty their life is and how everybody in their life is the problem, and you can feel the victim in them, and you release the need to try to convince them of something else, and you just step aside and you said, I'm really sorry you're hurting. I know for me that I've been working on myself and doing some big work on letting go of my pain. It's not easy, and I can totally feel how hard this is for you, and I really hope that you can figure it out. I hope that you can work it out. And I care about you, and I want you to know that I see you. I understand how hard it is. And there's different ways of seeing it that I know for me has been really helpful. And then you get off the phone, and then you can set that aside if you can, right? That's that work of allowing yourself to detach and let them have their experience and hand it over to higher power. And sometimes I'll say a prayer if I've talked to a friend like that, and I just say, thank you, Spirit, for holding them tenderly. Thank you for offering them grace. I hope that they can feel your support and your guidance and your love. And then I am more able than ever to let it go. It's not mine to whip in my mind about how I can help them, how I can fix it. But recently in my life, Rich is continuing to struggle with, and I always say not to use the word struggle, so I'm going to rephrase that. Rich continues to work on this part of himself where he both loves and hates his job. He both loves what he does. He's a stonemason. He builds these incredible water features and yards and concrete patios, and he is an incredible master at what he does. However, he is very meticulous and very particular about how everything gets done because he has very high expectations for himself and how everything turns out. And there is this process that happens within jobs as a contractor when you first come in and the project's all exciting, everybody's all excited for you, and there's nothing but joy and excitement for the project. You do the drawings and they do the deposit and you get to start it at work. And the truth is, unless it's something that can be really seen easily what's happening, generally there's a lot of what you don't know as the outside person who's contracting this person to do the work for you. You don't know what they're doing or why it's taking so long or why isn't it just taking shape yet? And so he deals with an intense amount of what he perceives as criticism and judgment from people. And his desire to do a good job is a foundational piece of his younger self. And his energy that he has, part of what I love about him is his fact that he can build and do anything. And it's incredible. It's beautiful. Maybe I'll use a thumbnail of one of our water features for this episode, or maybe I'll put it on the Facebook page. But his work is unbelievable. But that expectation that he has for himself sets him up so that of the four agreements, don't take things personally and don't make assumptions can get lost. If you're ready for soul recovery, as a spiritual coach, I can support your healing to help make real changes that will bring you a life of peace, happiness, connection, and abundance. You can also work in smaller groups by taking a deep dive in a Zoom workshop or with me in person at a retreat or an event. Join others on the soul recovery path once a month for the free Zoom support group or daily on the private Facebook page. Visit the website recoveryoursoul.net to book coaching sessions with me or find all the information you need about soul recovery, dates that are coming up, and how to register for those groups and workshops. To support the podcast and the community, check the links in the show notes to make a small monthly donation or a one-time donation of your choice that will make a huge impact to support this community and the soul recovery mission. Together, we can do the work that will recover your soul. Now, as a bystander, in the olden days before I started doing this work, this was another one of our tipping points that we had in our relationship. We used to argue a lot about the kids. We also used to have this conversation around his work because I wanted to keep him from feeling this feeling of disappointment, this feeling of not meeting up to other people's standards. And so I would try to help him. I would try to give him maybe their perspective or, you know, from a side that I thought would be helpful to him that he would hear. But the truth is, when he's in that place, he's in his sandstorm. He's in just protect yourself and survive mode. And I'm outside of the sandstorm going, it's okay. Don't worry about it. This is just how it goes. And he can't hear me. He can't see me. And as a matter of fact, he feels judged by me. So when we're doing the work and you're looking at them and you're saying, you're in the storm, you can get out of the storm, they don't know that. They can't feel it. And in those moments, what I realized was I was also undercutting his process. I was undercutting his need to work through or to be hit with the parts of his emotions that are so intense that that's what his spiritual self is telling him that he needs to work on. It's giving him something to look at if he is willing and wants to look at it. Now that we're in this new place and I'm in this new place, he still bumps up against the same issue almost every single project. And there's part of him that knows that this is the pattern that you get in the middle and it gets kind of crunchy because people just want it done and it's costing a bunch of money and money's always a trigger for everyone. And generally, by the time it gets to the end, they think it's incredible and beautiful, but there's hurt feelings in the middle because it's hard for him to let go of that part where he wasn't enough that he wasn't the superhero, that he worked so hard physically. The amount of physical work that he does is unbelievable. He worked so physically hard for this. And in the end, he doesn't get the big carrot or the big gold star or the big cookie at the end that's like, this is exactly what I wanted. They're also in their stuff of this took longer than I thought it was. It was more invasive than I thought it was going to be. It cost a whole bunch of money. And yes, I love it, but they're in their emotions. So now what I notice with Rich is I am able to know what these patterns are that happen in his pattern of his jobs. And that in the middle of these jobs, he gets pretty cranky. He gets where he's resistant to wanting to go to work because he feels like he's not getting the kind of support or the kind of appreciation that he wishes that he could get. And again, see, this is all that stuff that's so interesting once you have the dust cleared out of your eye that you start noticing, like, he really could love and appreciate himself, that he knows what a hard job he's doing. He knows how it's going to turn out. He knows the value of what he's doing, and he could let go of how much it affects him from the outside. And I will tell you that he has improved about 70% from where he used to be. And I've watched him do that because instead of me trying to coach him and trying to improve his way of thinking, I spend more time speaking around what I'm working on with myself, what awarenesses I'm having, how I'm processing for myself, so that when he opens up and he has that moment where he's actually open to having some kind of a conversation, instead of me trying to school him or try to change his perception for him, I'm better at being an open place for him to share his own experience and process his own stuff. And then I wait for him to say, do you have any ideas around this? Or, you know, what have you learned about this? Or what do you think, Rachel? It's not easy, because what you want to say is other things. You want to tell them how to see it. You want to tell them how to relate to people. You want to tell them how to see the jobs. You want to say, you do this all the time. This is the same process in every single project. But again, this ability for us to allow people to be in their own emotional environment and begin to just hold space and be open to them allows them to have their own interactions. Now, I can see that we're going long on this episode, but I'm just going to keep going. I am in a lucky situation because I have a spouse who has some desire for spiritual growth, right? It doesn't look like mine, but I'm grateful for the fact that it is a desire that he has to improve himself, to see better, to get out of the dust storm. Now, when you are in relationship or have friends or have people in your life who are so enmeshed with their dysfunction, it is incredibly draining for us. And especially for those of you who have empathic or are highly sensitive people, those emotions can really affect you. And so it's around having awareness of how those emotions affect you. And some of us are really able to block it out and have detachment with love and be compassionate and just allow them to have their own experience. And some of us, I'm one of those people, it's like sticky glue. It's like you're outside of the sandstorm, but all they got to do is just move a little bit and it comes over and covers us. In those situations, I think that it's really important for us to be kind to ourselves and first to recognize that, to have awareness around this level of how we take on other people's feelings and emotions. That's first and foremost. Because in that situation, we can begin to look at, is there really something that is mine here? Am I part of the emotions that happen because my responses back are either judging or are trying to fix or people pleasing, or I'm irritated by their behavior. And so then that cycles back. Am I part of the cycle? And what part of the cycle am I? And how can I clean up my part of the cycle? So that's one piece. And then the other piece is to recognize for yourself, am I okay here? Is this person in a place where they want better for themselves? And how can I support them to do better for themselves without doing it for them? Or is this person really in a place where they don't want to do anything better for themselves? And can I love myself enough to realize that it's not my journey to make it be different for them? And this is really complicated because it also wraps around family members. In marriage, there is definitely a moment sometimes where we realize we're betraying ourselves. And you look at somebody who you've had a whole life with, who you love, who past chapters were beautiful chapters, and you're watching them. And this isn't just from addiction. This is from life turn into somebody else. And they don't want to be any different. That's a major awareness when we do that. And then we have to look at ourselves and we have to say, does this way that they are, is it safe for me to be here? Can I still be myself? Can I still live my full life? And you make these choices yourself. Again, each one of your relationships is uniquely your own. So for a lot of people, they can have somebody who's not on that path of wanting better for themselves, who's really caught in their pain, who's really caught in their dysfunction, and it's just kind of getting worse. But you have this whole life together, and it's okay for you that you can grow and expand and take care of yourself. And if that's your case, that's your choice. Only you know what is right for you. And then for others, there's this awareness that says, I have to make a change. I have to save myself. This doesn't allow me to be myself. This doesn't allow me to be my fullest self, to choose happiness. And I can trust that this part of my emotions are telling me something, that I can trust my gut. But ultimately, when we communicate with people in any situation, whether, you know, there's a bunch of dysfunction or whether there is clean relationship, the healthiest communication comes when we're speaking from ourselves and our experience and not from a place that's saying, you do this to me. You need to do this. You are diagnose them X here. You have these problems. Ultimately, even in alcoholism or alcohol use disorder, they say nobody can diagnose somebody except for themselves or a professional. And we get caught up in diagnosing other people. My friend is depressed. My friend has whatever you think that they have. My spouse has this. Our thoughts are so powerful. And so if we can let go of seeing people as sick and broken, and we can remember that in soul recovery, we're bringing everybody back to wholeness, and we're holding space in their wholeness, not in their illness. We're holding space to remind them, just like we're remembering, that there's nothing wrong with us, that we are whole, that we can get out of the dust storm, the sandstorm, that we don't have to be in this place where it all feels like it's all too much. But it's not about claiming dysfunction for them. It's about embracing and connecting with and spending more time and energy connecting to the person who's underneath, who's whole, and allowing them to have their own experience and speaking from a clear place that is around your experience, what you need. It's okay to say when you, I'll use Rich for these grumpiness moments that he has, when you are angry around where the project is, I feel neglected and I feel responsible for your unhappiness. And I need to not feel like I need to fix it for you. I need to have more time and connection with you. I need you to be able to leave the work at work and share yourself with me. When you blank, I feel blank and I need blank. But it's not about saying, when you are grumpy, I feel crappy and I need you to shape up. It's not like that. It's nuanced. And that's why I realize I'm going long today, because each of our relationships, romantic relationships, friendship relationships, relationships with our kids, they are all so unique and different. And you will have people in your life who will tell you what you should do. But what we're learning in Soul Recovery is to trust yourself and to lean into your higher power and turn within, close your eyes, connect to that inner resource that is whole and knowing within you that can guide you to understand how to best take care of yourself and how to best hold space for the people in your lives, how to support them. It doesn't mean you don't say things at times. I certainly don't hold back in having an opinion about things, but there's a difference in the episode as well about opinion versus advice. There's a difference between attachment to our opinion and speaking from ourselves and speaking from our awarenesses and then letting it go and letting them have their experience and not letting their experience affect our experience too much. So as we close, I just want to offer you that this is a process. I've been actively doing this for 5 years. I'm still working on it. And there are definitely still days where I think to myself, oh, I thought I was so much better at this and I'm not. And that's okay. That's okay. This is about the journey. It's not about the destination. It's about the awareness. It's not about getting it right. And having compassion and love for those in our life who are struggling, that means you're a loving person. We're just not taking codependent beliefs that we are responsible for them. We're not relying on another person for our emotional, spiritual, or physical well-being. And we're not letting them rely on us as well for that. We're learning how to separate, how to detach with love, with compassion, seeing the wholeness, letting go of judgment, and opening up to the guidance of spirit. As I always say, if you need help with this or you're interested in support, book a coaching session with me. I'm here for you. Until next time, namaste. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Recovery Soul Podcast and being part of this amazing and growing community. If you loved this episode and you want even more, there is a bonus episode with even more content every Friday. This is by subscription. You can access that by being a Patreon member, and there's 3 tiers of giving of your choice, or an Apple Podcast subscriber. Once you have subscribed, you have access to a whole back catalog of episodes as well. These have interviews, more book studies, meditations, and even more on your soul recovery journey to help support you. So I thank you for becoming a subscriber for this additional content and how it helps support this community. If you would go to the website, recoveryoursoul.net, and I would love for you to subscribe to email updates so that you can keep posted with everything that's going on, different events, what dates are coming up, any reminders. There's only a couple emails each month. I hope you follow Recover Your Soul on social media. You can find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, the private Facebook community page, TikTok, and if you want guided meditations, look for Reverend Rachel Harrison on Insight Timer. I really encourage you to take advantage of the one-on-one coaching. This is a unique, intuitive connection between the two of us. There are 9 steps to soul recovery, and I do use those 9 steps to loosely guide us through whatever your coaching that you need. But really, it's about creating a way for you to feel comfortable around your healing of your past, looking at the situations in your life. What are the patterns? What are the beliefs that are holding you back? Breaking free from those patterns, breaking free from those beliefs, letting go of control, letting go of the people around you and how they are making you feel, and taking your power back. Discovering who you are and who you want to be in the world and how I can support you to do this. It's actually not intended to be a long-term relationship. If you want to try a session, there is a discount code for your first session with me just to see if it feels like a good fit. I really try to keep the prices as reasonable as I can. This isn't about trying to charge what coaches do charge. This is about me being able to make a living to support you on your path. I am here to support you on your soul recovery journey. And also, you're sharing this podcast with your friends, putting 5 stars, leaving reviews, really sharing this with others is growing the community. This is my great mission to bring soul recovery to a larger group, that we are growing and supporting each other. And every time I'm in one of our support groups and I see all those faces on Zoom, and we share with each other what's really happening in our lives, and we connect, or in a workshop, it just is so profound that we're doing this work together. We are supporting each other, and the fact that I can be part of your life means a lot to me. Thank you for being part of this community. Thank you for supporting Recover Your Soul. And I know that together we can do the work that will recover your soul. The Recover Your Soul podcast and its content is for educational purposes only and is not allied or representative of any organizations or religions. It's based on the opinions and experience of Reverend Rachel Harrison. Recover Your Soul claims no responsibility to any persons or entity for any liability, loss, damage, or cause alleged to be caused directly or indirectly as a result of its use. Applications or interpretations of the information represented herein. Take what you need and leave the rest.